All right, so we are starting an audio here with the brothers, and Brother Akuo's got a topic he wants to talk about. Brother Akuo, what is your topic today?
I just wanted to cover foolishness and jesting and joking and just being kind of not sober-minded, I suppose, is the question. Just joking around about things, maybe worldly things and whatnot. It doesn't have any place in the life of a born-again saint.
Did you say does it or it doesn't?
Does it. Like, are there places where humor is acceptable or humor is not acceptable? Like, what is kind of like the line for that, I suppose? Because yeah. I know in Psalms it says every foolish thought is sin. So that's why I was wondering.
Yeah. Can I tell a quick story? We were preaching at a festival. It applies to this. We were preaching at a festival, and Sister Amin was talking to this young guy, and when I got free, I walked over to him, and she walked away, and I kept talking to him. And I started talking to him about his churchianity system and the false gospel, the pagan holidays, the worldliness, their pride and vanity. And he made the comment right in front of me, I don't mind when women dress in modest. I like looking at their bodies. And I said, excuse me? And he laughed. And he goes, oh, I'm just making a joke. And I said, wait a minute. I said, you're making a joke about sin. He goes, well, yeah, what's your problem? You don't like humor? And I said, well, now you got two different topics. I said, you got humor and foolishness. I said, but then you just laughed about sin. He goes, well, what are you talking about? I said, well, what do you go to a religious building for, to worship God? He goes, well, yeah. I said, you just told me you don't mind looking at women's body while you're there. I said, that's sinful. That's lusting. Well, yeah, I get what you're saying. But going back to humor, he said, oh, God knows humor real good. And I said, God knows humor real good? He goes, well, yeah, God knows all about humor. I said, where did God ever use humor in the scriptures? Well, he said, I didn't say he uses humor, but he said, he knows we're going to do it, so I'm sure he's okay with it. And I said, he knows we're going to sin, but he's not okay with that either. And he kind of went, wow, you're really getting down on me. And I said, well, I'm a preacher of righteousness. I said, I care for your soul. I said, you're joking? And you're joking about sin. I said, it's kind of a double against you. And he just kept going more towards the mockery. And I said, I think I'm going to need to leave it right there. You got our gospel card. If you ever get serious, email me. So I wanted to tell you that story, how people will not only joke, but they'll joke about sin, won't they?
Oh, yeah.
So let me read a scripture verse. Psalm 69:5. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Notice how foolishness and sin are like right close together there.
Yeah, I got a scripture verse. Ephesians 5. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks.
Yeah, amen.
So let me try and explain, I guess, the way that I'd almost see it. Correct me if I'm wrong here, test me. This is just my thoughts on the matter. So humor, you can have something that is just humorous, might say it's funny, but it still could be considered good, pure, and true. It's just something that's funny. Like, for example, a child doing something funny or humorous, figuring something out, could be, but it's in a good, pure, and true sense. And then you would have foolish talking, filthiness, jesting, like a froward mouth, a perverse mouth that is basically corrupt, and that makes humor into a jesting, ironic, corrupt thing that basically tries to make light of more serious situations, and it's almost flippant, if that makes any sense. It's not good, pure, and true, just something that would be humorous in and of itself, but it's something whereas they try and be flippant, if that makes the sense. I'd say it's when it becomes flippant, where you know something isn't good but you're laughing at it, and it's almost like Satan, the world and the flesh, uses humor as an excuse to turn sin into something that is not exceedingly serious. Because if you can take away the seriousness of it and make it into something to be laughed at, then, well, you no longer need to deal with it accordingly, do you? So I guess I would draw the line there as, for example, something comes out, maybe something if I can play on words or something that could be humorous, I don't think that would be wrong. When it turns into foolish talking, something that's designed to be jesting and lighthearted and not sober-minded, then for the purpose of basically it's corrupt communication. And then it would, at that point, that kind of a humor is fleshly and no longer good, pure, and true.
Yeah.
That makes sense at all.
No, it makes sense to me. It makes sense to me. Brother Purgos, what say you about this?
It definitely makes sense to me, and I'm really happy for Ephesians 5:4. It helped me see out of some things.
Read it for us.
Oh, Brother Zelos just read Ephesians.
Oh, I'm sorry.
5:3-4.
Oh, he read 5:3-4. Okay, yeah. Yeah, so what's your thoughts on that?
There's a verse I'm thinking of.
While you're looking for your verse, what I would say is I agree with what Brother Zello said. There's nothing wrong with laughter. Depends what we're laughing about. If it's good, pure, and true. It's not overtaking us. It's not common and all the time to where we're silly. That word foolish in Psalms means silliness. We don't be silly. The Bible tells us to be sober. I think anytime we're like just on purpose telling jokes, we're taking our time to tell a joke about something that isn't even true just to make somebody laugh. I think that is crossing the line to silliness. Looking at something that happened and go, can you believe this happened? Yeah, I'm driving down the street, and my wheel fell off the car, and it passed me on the highway. Can you believe that? And we didn't crash, and we went all pulled over, and the tire pulled over, and we're laughing and going, that's crazy, the wheel passed us on the highway, and we could laugh at that. I don't think that's sinful. I think if you're telling jokes just to get people to laugh and in silliness, I think you cross the line. And also, I think one precedent is if we're to example Paul and Jesus and the great men in Scripture and God, I don't see any joke telling, jocularity, is that as you say, silliness. I don't see that with the people of God or with our Creator God. So I think there is a fine line we got to watch out. You can laugh. I think when you start telling jokes and you're finding laughter and humor and foolishness and too many things, I think you're going into an area that is a slippery slope, and you probably should peel back from that. Brother Purgos, did you find your verse?
Yes, Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man.
Yeah.
Especially around unbelievers, you want to be exceedingly sober-minded because you're representing Christ.
Yeah.
And the world will remember every fault of yours.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Good scripture and good point.
I got another verse here, Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So again, I think like there's things that we might find humorous, all right? We look at something, it's not sinful, we might find it humorous, it might make us laugh. But when it gets, like, I like the way you put it, when it gets to the point where it's a deliberate action for the intent of bringing up things to loose the flesh and make it humorous and funny and just laugh, at that point it becomes, well, are you letting corrupt communication proceed out? Like, is this edifying? Is it good? Is it God glorifying? Or are you just repeating things for the purpose of trying to get people in their flesh? And yeah, that's another thing. A lot of the humor is just that, it's fleshly.
Is it entertainment?
Yeah, it's fleshly, and if we're in the flesh, we can't please God.
Ready for this? Have you guys seen all this? You know about this? There's guys that travel the country. They make a great living at it. They live in these $500,000 buses or more. Guess what they are?
I'm actually thinking of the name of a TV show, but I'm not sure if that's what you're thinking of.
They're Christian comedians.
What? They're Christian. Okay.
Christian comedians. You don't know about these?
Yeah.
I actually watched when I was doing a testing on one of my coworkers' churches. They brought a Christian comedian there for a sermon. It was pretty wicked, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I hear, like, there's ones like, I won't even mention her names. I'm not going to give him glory. But there's one guy, he jokes about hell. He jokes about sin. He jokes about death. He jokes about Jesus, crucifixion. Anything to make people laugh. And they're gut-breaking. They're laughing. Oh, he's so funny. Oh, that's awesome. These guys make a living, and people come to churches and pay $30 and $40 for a ticket to come watch this guy. These guys make people laugh. That's how wicked it's become in churchianity. Comedians. I want to read a verse. If we're supposed to model men that are supposed to be leading, talking about a bishop, an elder, an overseer, 1 Timothy 3, verse 2. A bishop, could be elder, overseer, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, not vigilant, vigilant. Sister Amin and I pronounce that word backwards sometimes. It's vigilant. Sober. I want to look at that word sober. You know, when you think of that word sober, right, the first thing you want to think of is, well, it must be somebody that never, ever laughs. He's probably just, you know, got the driest sense of humor and he's serious all the time. No, that's not really what it means. It means a mind that is self-controlled, discreet, temperate, sane, in control of one's senses and impulses. He's controlled. He's curbing it. He's temperate. So that doesn't mean he can't laugh. That doesn't mean he couldn't see something humorous with a child or a brother or a sister and say, oh, that's humorous and it's good, pure, true. Of course, that doesn't mean he's not sober-minded. But his life across the board is not foolishness. It's not jokery. It's not on the things of flesh and entertainment. It's 99% of the time focused on the serious things of God and the body life and ministry. And then there are those occasions where you would laugh about something with someone where no one's at harm. It's good, pure, and true. And that's how I would explain it. So sober doesn't mean you never laugh. You never smile. Sober means you're in control. And if we're in control, I don't see us telling jokes. I don't see us going to see Christian comedians. I don't see us looking to laugh in our flesh a lot. If the occasion comes up about something to smile or giggle about and it just happens, nothing wrong with that if it's good, pure, and true. But we don't live for that. We don't play to that. We don't use that. Ready? The church systems use all of that to draw people in, do they not?
Yeah.
Yep.
They literally need to start saying come to circus instead of come to church.
Carnival, circus.
Start trying to turn it in there.
Yep. Entertainment, yeah. So where is the line, Brother Akuo? That's one of those things you got to have discernment on. But I would tell you, anybody that's a Christian that is telling jokes, I'd like to know why they're doing that. What's the point? Because if you're just living a good life in the Lord, I think there's going to be plenty of things to smile about with your brothers and sisters. I don't think we need to be bringing jokes. You see what I mean?
Yeah. I want to throw, as Brother Zealous would say, another twist on it. In Proverbs 1, there's laughing as like mockery too, and the Lord actually says he's gonna laugh. So Proverbs 1:26 says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then you shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. So there's another whole side to the spectrum where we shouldn't be foolish. And hold on, let me go back to a verse. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. So we shouldn't be silly, but there is cause to almost like foolishness in regards to, let's say, like modern Christianity, as like almost like mocking them because they're blind to the truth, because the Lord will laugh at their blindness, I suppose. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Brother Purgos.
God can laugh at whatever he wants. I immediately think about if you call your brother a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. I would maybe try to provoke people to jealousy. Yeah, I mean, to come to the Lord, but I would, short of false teachers, wouldn't really want to mock people at all.
Yeah, I think if you look at the context of Proverbs 1, you look at the word laugh, what God is doing is making a mockery of their false ways and their sin. We see it with, was it the prophet Elijah when he was going against the prophets of Baal? And the prophets of Baal tried to do their thing, and I think, paraphrasing, I think he said something like, is your God sleeping? He mocked them. I think there is a time for mocking, but that's not like foolish laughing and silliness. That's like contrasting the truth versus error, sin, and false ways. So there will be times when I'll tell a false teacher, your doctrines are so foolish and silly, it's a mockery. It's almost like I laugh at you. You're trying to say this is the truth? So it's not a laughing of foolishness. It's a laughing that is exposing how far they are from the truth. Does that make sense? Can I give you an example ready? On the flip side, David's going to appear before the Philistine Goliath. David comes walking out. Do you remember what Goliath said? Goliath mocked him. Goliath laughed at him, but it wasn't like a, foolish silliness. Goliath said, what, am I a dog? You send him out after me? And he mocked little David in a way that was like disrespectful. And so when we mock a false teacher, we clearly don't respect his heresy and his lies. But it's not foolishness and silliness, is it?
No.
Yeah.
No.
So that's what a verse like Proverbs is talking about. It's talking about God will laugh. He'll laugh because you're not moving him with your lies, your heresy, your sin, and God stands above you, and God's people will do the same thing. And so I agree with Brother Purgos. I wouldn't mock any person other than false teachers. Maybe somebody that's really standing up for sin and defending false teachers, they may get a call out and a mock. But most people, no, I wouldn't do that to most people. Brother Zealous, what say you?
These are just my thoughts here. Test me. I don't think that we have the example anywhere in the New Testament of mocking. We see rebuking. We see calling out. I think in the sense of mocking, as in what God will do in Proverbs 1, is just basically like, they disregard God when they, to mock God, like when you completely disregard and push him aside and don't give heed to him, it's kind of mocking him. God will not be mocked, but a man sows that will he reap. And what God is basically saying is, hey, the time comes, like, you ever notice how people don't care about God until 10 seconds into something bad, and then all of a sudden, oh God, why you let this happen? Help me. And then God's just gonna like disregard them, and he's not gonna hear them because they basically disregard. And in that way, it's a mocking them. The same way we see like Elijah with the prophets of Baal, they were literally cutting themselves and dancing around and crying to nothing. And he just basically asked, well, maybe you need to cry louder. He's not hearing you. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he literally said, maybe he went to the bathroom. You need to cry louder. He wasn't exactly scornful to them. He was, like Brother Tupo said, I think this sums it up very well. You contrast it, the foolish ways of what they're doing, next to the truth. And it's not so much that you are mocking them as in you're scorning them or disregarding them or all of that. It's more as you're showing the absolute foolishness and the folly of what they're doing by contrasting it to the truth. And in that sense, it could be considered mocking, but it's not in like what we would think as in a scornful mocking. Which I don't think the saints really should be doing.
No, no, not.
We don't have the model anywhere.
No, not scornful mocking. Look at the word mock in the New Testament. It means to jeer at.
Yeah.
Which.
Like, that's not something which we do.
Well,
like, we would contrast, like, we would point out their foolishness, and their foolishness would mock them, because, but you're just speaking the truth. It's like saying, like, take that pastor, for example. Like, it's almost a mockery to like, look at what you're doing. You're literally a coward. You're running away. Like, aren't you a man? And then afterwards, like, oh, I want to talk theology. I'll buy you a beer. Okay, to point that out, it's almost mocking, but it's just actually telling the truth. His own foolishness is mocking him.
Yeah, it's,
we're not mocking him, really.
It's a fine, I guess it's a real fine line, but it is a form of a mock. We see it in the Old Testament. It is a form of a mock to call out someone who is in such willful sin, false teachers, in heresy, and deceiving people. It is a form of a mock against them. There's no, I don't see how you can get around to jeer at, to look at them and call them out and say, you are so far from the truth. It is profane. But I get what you're saying. It's kind of semantics. It's kind of splitting a hair.
Yeah, but I think it's important, though, that you make the distinction that you're not doing this in a scornful sense for the purpose of you just lifting yourself up above this person, which is generally what mocking is. Like, look at what they did to Jesus on the cross.
Right.
They went and they were shaking their head. They did that for the purpose of making him feel bad. A biblical mock, if you want to call it that, would be basically to just speak the truth and then, like, again, it's because it's so absolutely foolish and contradictory and ironic that it's almost a mock. But they're the ones who are mocking themselves by doing it. You're just pointing it out.
Yeah.
Versus you deliberately saying something with the intent. That would be like an idle word. You saying something with the intent of jeering and deriding and railing against somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a matter of semantics on how you want to describe what a mock is. There is two sides of a mock. There's no doubt about that. You just described the two different sides.
Yeah.
Right?
So, like, one is not something the saints should be doing. The other one we could see is we could see as being biblical.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, and I don't know. We kind of got off. Maybe. Well, I guess we didn't get off of it. Mocking is along those same lines. But telling jokes, I would say there's no place for laughter. Depends what you laugh at and how often and how much you do it. Being sober-minded, that means being in control. I think that we're in a culture where they laugh about just about everything, and it's a tension breaker. It's an entertainment tool. It feeds their flesh, and I think we have to avoid that at all costs.
Yeah, which is another problem with the whole comedy industry. They are very, very profane. There is nothing they will not mock.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, comedy has become entertainment, fleshly, and so we have to avoid that at all costs. I don't know, does that help you, Brother Zelos, or our Brother Akuo, with that question? That because you explain why you asked the question. You and I talked about it a little bit today when you and I were just one-on-one.
Wow, the thought actually just escaped my mind, but
you had told me that you grew up in a culture where everybody did that.
Yeah. My whole family, as I was growing up, all we did was jest and all we did was make jokes. It's kind of how we bonded. We would watch television together, and all we'd do is like mock and jest at what was going on TV, what was happening in our lives and whatnot. So this is how it kind of came up, because I still, the lost life back there as a young man, I got a break from it. I just wanted to understand, like, okay, what was acceptable, what's not acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to be sober. You want to be in self-control. You don't want to be telling jokes. You don't want to be looking to humor to, like, draw people or connect with people or to get along with people. Nothing wrong with laughing at something good, pure, and true. But it should be, if you're a sober-minded young man, which you are, it should not be a very big part of your life at all. It should be a minuscule part of your life, with most of it being serious, about the things of God, speaking the truth in love. And then, yeah, there's the time to, you know, if you want to call it chuckle or laugh about something that's funny that happened to Brother Tupos. Oh, that's funny. Look at that. We're fishing, and he fell in the water up to his waist, and he crawled out, and he was laughing. That was pretty funny. Nobody got hurt. It wasn't sinful. It's good, pure, and true. But we don't look to make those situations happen to draw close to each other. It's just something that happens that, you know, you can look at and go, hey, we experienced that together. But it's not something we draw upon. That makes sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yes, yeah. Circumstances directed, and if you're doing it all the time, then there's probably some wrong circumstances. And I think you notice, like, when you get out of the silliness of life, same thing, my family, same way. When you get out of that silliness of life, you see a seriousness to life. You see the soberness. You see eternity. You see the importance of truth and living in holiness. Your whole life changes, because your whole life you pretty much lived just not taking much serious. And
not, oh yeah, you're trying to please the flesh at every point.
Yep. Basically. And I think that's probably the biggest point. Joke telling, lots of laughter, lots of jocularity, as they say, lots of humor seeking. It's fleshly. You want to walk in the Spirit. And we don't see, correct me if I'm wrong, in the New Testament, we don't see any examples of Jesus or Paul or Peter making jokes and looking for situations for laughter to bond to each other, like you said that worldly people do. We don't see that anywhere, do we, saints?
No.
No.
Sorry, what?
I said no.
Oh. I guess another problem with jokes, I think jokes fall under the category in Ephesians that not to be named among the saints as jesting.
Yeah.
Which is like, if you look it up, it's like witticisms, repartee, like trying to basically be witty and smart and quick. It's fleshly, prideful. And here's one of the biggest problems with it. It makes light of every situation, right? And then if you look at all of the jokes that people tell, they take situations that are supposed to be serious, and especially if you're a saint walking in the fear of God, they take that fear and they basically cast it aside and try to make it into this witty, light, humorous thing. And then they make jokes about everything. They make jokes about sin and make sin light. They make jokes about marriage and they make the covenant light, and it's okay to have problems. And they make light of all the situations, and we're to walk with fear and trembling.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, when something happens, you know, somebody does something, maybe a child does something, and it's just something that strikes you funny, and you laugh a bit, and then you keep going, but it's not your focus, like Brother Tupos was saying. You're sober-minded, just something happens that maybe lightens the mood, and you keep going. The problem with jesting and joking is that it purposefully lightens everything. And we're not to make anything light, because we're to walk with fear and trembling, to be holy as God is holy. It's just kind of incompatible, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a great point. You're looking for it, you're feeding off of it, rather than when it happens, it just happens. But if you're feeding off of it, then you're walking in the flesh, and it's going to get you into you're going to bond with a lot of worldly people, like on a job. We just talked about what's a good job for Christians. You're going to bond on jobs if you joke a lot with people that you don't want to be bonding with. That makes sense?
Yeah.
But if you're sober-minded, the people that joke a lot, you think they're going to want to hang around you and tell all their worldly jokes a lot?
No. They don't.
You know, share the gospel with them, and if they're not interested in the gospel, then no point in being together, spending time with them. Bad company corrupts. So something to watch out for. Good question, Brother Kuo. Anything else? Any brothers got anything else on that?
I just wanted to throw in a quick thought. Don't believe these foolish worldly shows like The Chosen and all of these heretical, blasphemous shows that the Catholics come up with, where it displays like the disciples and Jesus as like this fun-loving group of guys that were just joking around with each other, traveling around. I know on my campus in college, InterVarsity, college Christian group, quote-unquote Christian, they did a Mark drama where they did the Book of Mark and they dramatized it, and they made the disciples look like absolute fools, just joking around, having a good time while they're around with Jesus. All of the, there's no soberness, there's no seriousness to it at all. It's all a delusion. So
yeah, great point.
I just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah, the Chosen, I told somebody, I don't know if I told you brothers this, I think I told a couple of brothers, maybe not Brother Zelos. The Chosen loves to do things like, they have the disciples arm wrestling, and Peter pins John in arm wrestling. I guess John was like a bigger guy, and Peter put John down and beat him. And everybody laughed when Jesus said, "Oh, even I didn't see that one coming." And they all laughed and joked like it was a comedy show. People love this stuff. That's why it's world famous, the Chosen miniseries. People eat this stuff up. Oh, I'm seeing a new side to Jesus and the disciples. Yeah, it's a false, fleshly, carnal, fake, man-made, invented side that never was. That's why people love it so much. It's playing to their flesh.
Yeah, it's not biblical by any stretch of the imagination. Here's a thought. Have you ever considered that the Bible not once ever says that Jesus left, but it does say that he wept?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
He was called a man of sorrows.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if you want to go down this road, it's not even consistent with Jewish culture. I mean, you got to give Jewish culture one thing. Being flippant and joking and doing all that stuff was not a part of Jewish culture. Being sober-minded and reverent was but a part of Jewish culture, especially in those days. So no, the disciples weren't exactly like sitting around giggling and laughing with one another.
Yeah, now, again, this is maybe like, I'd like to do a topic sometime on that topic of mocking, because I think, because there's two sides to that, and I'd like to explore that more. But if you do, if you look up the word Mary, there's a lot of instances where there is Mary, and we have to look that up, and that would be another whole topic. But I agree with you. We don't see instances of Jesus laughing and joking. But there is that word Mary in the New Testament and in the Old Testament.
It's like joy, isn't it, though? Yeah. Like, the joy is not the flippant outward manifestation that the culture today has. It would be that calm. Like, if making merry would be like, okay, when we get together as brothers and we're talking about something and it kind of, the mood is a little lighter and we just talk and we share our days and that, we could be merry and joyful in the spirit, but we're not flippant and jesting and foolish. We're still sober-minded.
Yep, exactly. James 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. You look up the word merry, it's not foolish and flippant. It's to cheer up. It's to be cheerful, of good cheer, put in good spirits, to be gladdened, make cheerful, good spirits, full of joy, good cheer, courage. So yeah, it's not foolishness, flippantness. It's not being the life of the party and joking. It's to be in a good mood, to be joyous, to rejoice, to be cheerful. Hey, it sounds like Kara, inner calm and joy, right? Cheer.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Anything else on this one, brothers?
No, I guess just keep in mind to let no filthy communication I think rule of thumb, let no filthy communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good and edifying to the hearers. So if you're saying something and it's not actually edifying, but it's designed just to make light of situations, it's probably not biblical.
Yeah, and here, I'll put it simple. If you're laughing at things and you're laughing a lot, ask yourself, what am I laughing at? That might give us a hint of, are we going too far? Are we laughing at people's worldly jokes? Are we making up our own worldly jokes? Or, hey, do I find a lot of humorous things when I'm with my brothers if we're doing something? Okay, nothing wrong with that if it's good, pure, and true. But it's a good thing to check, what are we laughing about, if we laugh at all. Laughter, you know, it can be a fleshly thing, or I think the spiritual side of laughter would be more towards, like we talked about, joy, cheer. It would be a spiritual thing that we feel deep inside.
Amen.
Because think about this, ready? There's a lot of people in our societies that are killing themselves. There's a lot of people that could go to comedy shows and laugh like crazy at their outside physical carnal jokes and go home and still be in the darkness and kill themselves. What does that tell you? they don't have inner cheer, calm, joy. That kind of comedy is all outside and fleshly. It goes nowhere, does it?
No, it's of the flesh.
It's of the flesh. It's temporary. It lasts as long as you're laughing. Then when you're done laughing, you realize how empty you are. I've been there. I've been there in my life. That's kind of like drinking and partying. Drinking and partying only takes you so far, and then you crash and you realize how empty you are. You feel more empty than when you started. Same thing with humor. Oh, I'll laugh. I'll laugh. Oh, ready? Okay, let's bring up one man. Ready? Robin Williams, famous movie star. Made everybody laugh. Goofy, crazy, silly guy. He became a mega millionaire doing that. What happened to him?
Killed himself.
Yep. Because he was miserable. So, this is all outside. We want to be focused on the cheer that we get from the Holy Spirit inside. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
This is the last verse I want to throw in there. It goes along right with that. Proverbs 14:13. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness.
Well, nice. Good way to end it. Yeah. Yeah, reach deep down inside, and I'll be honest with you, as a true saint of God, brother, sister, seeking the kingdom in this dark world, doing ministry, laboring for the kingdom, bearing each other's burdens, trying to bring other people along in the faith, I promise you, we are going to have a lot more sorrows, trials, struggles, and situations that cause us to reach deep than we are going to have a lot of outside laughing and jocularity. Agreed?
Yeah. Yeah, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting.
Yeah. Amen.
Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better.
Yeah.
The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth, Ecclesiastes 7. So the scriptures do tell us that all this flippant outward show of fleshly humor is not of God, essentially. Amen.
Yeah, outward fleshly humor feeds the flesh, which leads to death. Inward trials and sorrows, because we're striving for holiness in this fleshly body we have, that we have to fight against, and this culture we have to fight against, leads us to reach down deep inside for the Spirit and the truth and walk after the things of God. And that's going to cause us to have many, many trials and issues in this life. But it is playing to the incorruptible versus outside laughter on the flesh, and all that is totally corruptible.
Amen.
Amen.
Good stuff, brothers. We'll leave it right there.